Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is David Williams once again with another episode, the sixth podcast recording, 2 hours to develop the idea on behalf of the American peace movement, the idea of the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage. The concept is a popular TV show based on the moving format of a staging encampment accompanying a long-distance peace walk from place to place around the world, with public personalities showing up and cameo appearances to lend their draw to the show, a stage presentation each night with speakers and music, international kitchens, types of food the walkers will represent from the countries they come from, maybe 100 walkers from 30 or so countries and languages is the biggest vision. This extends from 1977-78 when I went on my first long-distance peace walk with my Nipponzen Myohoji teacher, Fuji Guruji's disciple, Masao Napashi, when we walked from Santa Barbara to Los Angeles to introduce the Hopi interpreter, Thomas Benyaka, to the Japanese Buddhist monks, the disciples of Fuji Guruji, who Mahatma Gandhi called that name, and from whom Gandhi took up the drum and the chanting practice of the prayer Namu Myoho Renge Kyo daily, in still every day in the Gandhi ashram. So this, my view, is a part of the dynamic that empowered the spiritual nonviolent revolution in India to succeed for the first time in history, to throw out the violent domineering force by use of nonviolence and spiritual focus, the truth force that was the idea. Satyagraha means truth force. There's the force of truth to bring out the needed information to implement social change. So I'm doing this podcast on behalf of the American peace movement. I've been calling myself an American peace movement organizer since 1989. I wrote it the first time in a caption, a photo of me and Thomas Benyaka, the Hopi interpreter, my friend Reverend Yamato, standing outside of City Hall after Thomas gave a presentation to the city council about the natural law and about the Big Mountain issue. And we had him there for a few days in 1989, and the next year in January 1990 was the Rainbow Uprising campaign of a 1 week of events. Benyaka was there for all the day's events except the last day, when he had to go to Russia to participate in the global forum there, when at that time his friend actor John Voight filled in for him the last day with the ceremony at the Tree of Peace and the procession across campus to the Eternal Flame Peace Monument outside Buchanan Hall, where we installed the Hiroshima Peace Flame. And this is is on YouTube. You can look it up. The title is called Rainbow Uprising of Consciousness Campaign. And it's a two-hour edit of 20 hours of video of these various events with a lot of point, right-to-the-point information, especially the Hopi and the Iroquois messages that relate to bringing peace in our time, the Hopi Declaration of Peace and the Iroquois, the Mohawk message from Jake Swamp about the great peacemaker who brought the great law of peace, which united five warring nations over centuries of bitter warfare. They fought each other. When the peacemaker came and the Mohawk people were the worst cannibals even, they tested him and he passed. So they listened to the message and he accepted the message of peace, the Mohawk people, and they helped him to bring it to the other the rest of the five warring tribes. And result was he accepted the message of peace without question. They all renounced warfare. They buried the weapons of war under the Tree of Peace, which is the expression "bury the hatchet" comes from. And that's the beginning of Thomas, the Hopi interpreter, said over 100 nations that grew throughout the Western United States area, all in peace and prosperity, living under the great law of peace. So to my way of thinking as a scientist, this great law of peace is the inviolably sovereign law of nature, what Thomas Pagnacca called the law of nature, with the election about at the UN on October 10th, 1992, and in the prophecy of the House of Micah, which was fulfilled then, that John Voight talks about in this video, what he talked about was the operation of the great law of nature, which is so connected to the mind of man, that even the natural disasters are a result of our thinking out of harmony with nature. That's the message Thomas Pagnacca gave us. This is the same message that Saint Nichiren, the patron saint of more or less the precursor to Fuji Guruji, models his life after. Saint Nichiren 700 years ago in Japan similarly said to the government, look, you're making a mistake. You're ignoring this wonderful law, the Myoho in the Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. This is a natural, inviolably sovereign law. And if you continue to make laws that are enforced by violence and the threat of violence, like making a law against gravity kind of thing and trying to force it, there are going to be big problems. And he outlined a great earthquake, a typhoon, civil unrest. So the civil unrest and all happened, the big earthquake happened, and he predicted the Mongol invasion of Japan, and the Mongols tried to invade, and the typhoon wiped out the Mongol fleet. So this coincidence, those coincidences point to how the this natural law operates. My view as a scientist who's tried since 1974 to get through to the University of California at Santa Barbara when I originally applied for my PhD program in chemical physics and didn't start then and worked on it for my equations for what I call Tetron Natural Unified Field Theory from 1974 to 1977 when I completed with a realization of the oneness principle, I call it. The fourth equation of this four equations, three are definitional identity equations, and the fourth is the absolute identity equation of observer and observed, the absolute identity. And the premise is based on the nature of light, the C squared in E equals MC squared is overlooked. The property of the square of the vector quantity of C squared. People talk about C as light, the speed of light, very fast, can't go faster than the speed of light. But they forgot to account when you square the speed, you're not squaring a speed, you're squaring a velocity. A velocity has direction, a speed doesn't. 10 miles an hour is a speed, 10 miles an hour north is a velocity. When you square that quantity, you get a units of the direction squared. That's been mathematically swept under the rug as equal to 1. But my position is that C squared being in a proportionality be constant between the value of the energy of any given system, the proportionality constant between energy and mass is C squared. And it's overlooked that C squared is pegged to the identity of each observer. That's mathematically where the concepts come of each person, the center of their own universe. All this quantum physics, blah, blah, talking about how we're all, each of us, the center of our own universe. All kinds of rhetoric like that comes back to this principle about C squared. So what I came up with, and over the years of study, have tried to compare these various concepts like the natural law, the great law of peace, and I'm seeing that my equations are Tetron Natural Unified Theory equations depict the same inviolably sovereign law by which everything operates and cannot be contradicted. It's analogous to the concept in Judaism of the Torah. All the rhetoric, the scriptures, Torah, is to try to understand this law that even God cannot contradict in the world. The same concept in Islam means the will of God. Nothing can violate the will of God. The will of God is always done. If it happens, it's the will of God. That's different than Christianity and Judaism in terms of philosophy. The three faiths of Jerusalem, because there's accidents, happenstance, coincidence, chance, all these things are against the principle of the invaluably sovereign law of nature. I am the inviolably sovereign will of God. So part of my mission is to correct science and bring this out, how the mind works, the human mind's consciousness, orientation, function of light is the fundamental concept, and it's called Tetron. So my job is to correct the mind to science. I believe science is the most powerful religion because it's unknowingly enforced on people with mistaken understanding the power of the mind, and weird things happen with the confusion that goes on. It's left over from Heisenberg, Einstein's more or less nemesis that they fought over the concept. Einstein believed this law could be rendered into a simple set of equations, this law, inviolably sovereign law, but Heisenberg said, no, we can never know the truth with 100% certainty. All we can do is know higher probabilities something is true. That queered science forever until now, because it's not based on certainty. That's what I'm talking about. You look at it, the people qualified look at it, you'll understand it's absolute certainty these equations, what they represent. It's the antidote to uncertainty. So this is the same law, the Myoho ring in the Buddhism and the Judaism and the Dharma, everything boils down to this one law. That's my mission, to bring this law to harmony with nature, the mind of the man, thereby bring harmony to the people, to the nations, the same goal that the Nichiren and the great law of peace founder, the peacemaker. All peacemakers' objectives are the same thing. Create a wonderful world where everybody gets along. There's what's standing in the way will address, but we'll overcome it. But my vision for the mechanism of how to bring the message of peace out, which I've basically encoded the message of peace in the Global Peace Poll, the Global Peace Poll for Jerusalem, to unite the three faiths of Jerusalem in peace and all the other faiths in peace. And recently, just this concept of the peace poll has been developed since 1978 in my experience. And over the years, it's developed to where I've settled on, in recent years, six symbols of the message of peace. And then October 2nd, Gandhi's birthday last year, I added a top symbol, the Tetron symbol, this scientific understanding of the nature of light. And under that is a Namo Myoho Renge-kyo, the symbol of Buddhism, the message of peace from Buddhism 2,200 years ago, accepted by Emperor of India, who had conquered all the Indian subcontinent by violent and bloody warfare. And it finally got to the place after the carnage he witnessed. One day he opened his mind and accepted the message of peace, and that led to 500 years of no war, no crime, no violence anywhere in the area. So that's a principle. Most people think, oh, war has always been more a part of human nature. That's not true. This is one precedent of 500 years of peace by simply a leader accepting the message of peace. Similarly, with the great peacemaker and the Iroquois Confederacy, when they finally understood and accepted the message of peace, that spiritually united the nations and led to hundreds of years of peace and prosperity. The sad part is the founding fathers of the United States looked to the Iroquois Confederacy to pick out ideas to make the government of the United States of the people, by the people, and for the people, but they left out the concept of the great law of peace. They saw the men were leaders. They didn't recognize each of the men leaders was picked by council of women. They saw how they worked, but they didn't realize they governed by not majority rule, by unanimous consent, by having a prayer before the meetings, everybody getting one-minded, calm down, then the truth is revealed and everybody agrees to what the truth is and everybody agrees to what the decision is unanimously. That's been left out. The concept of land ownership was left out. That's why they say Manhattan was bought for a handful of beads, because the beads in question were called wampum. It's the shell, snail, freshwater snail shell grows in the area. They make beads out of it. One kind is purple, one kind is white, and they weave with wild hemp. They string the beads, make patterns out, and that's called wampum. It's a cultural symbol. It stands for many things, a social contract kind of system that the white people, so-called, mistook for money because they couldn't grasp the concept. And so when they say they bought Manhattan for a handful of beads, as Indian people accepted the beads as a wampum token of friendship and share the land and all that, and the white people thought, well, we just bought it, kind of thing. That's the misunderstanding there. So I've gone on for 20 minutes. Each week I'm going to bring out what's come across new ideas for this project. And of course, I want to make a peace walk that a format for the bringing out the message of peace with the featuring the Peace Bowl, which I mentioned three of the symbols, the Tetron, Namamyoho-Renge-Kyo, the Great Law of Peace, and the Hopi Declaration of Peace. You have to read it a bunch of times to get what it is. The Hopi Declaration of Peace. And then next is the symbol representing the three faces united, and Jerusalem three faces united. We used it on a peace walk from Bethlehem to Jerusalem some years ago, and the mayor of Santa Barbara put it on the model peaceful on March 11, 2018 at the Tree of Peace on campus with the Chumash elder and the Mayan calendar keeper conducting the ceremony to install that symbol, the three faces of Jerusalem united, by Kathy Murillo, the 50th mayor of Santa Barbara, the first Latino mayor. And that's why I have asked her, I'm asking her to be the representative of the American Peace Movement to carry this message to Jerusalem and install the peace pole for Jerusalem at the house of Ibrahim Abu al-Hawa. He's the Muslim Gandhi of East Jerusalem. He's welcomed people come and eat, live at his house to share the experience. And he's built many of the peace poles, the May Peace Prevail on Earth, around Jerusalem. And he's waiting for years for this one to come with this message. I'm asking my mayor, to who came to the Tree of Peace, to take this prayer to deliver it when, as soon as you can. Then below that, the next symbol, the fifth, would be the spiritual unity of all faiths, the symbol created by Satya Sai Baba in India. He's a holy man that's passed away now, but the miracle worker, kind of like, I don't want to compare him to Uri Geller, but I have to a little bit. Uri Geller is an Israeli psychic called. He's famous for his bending spoons with his mind. It's real. It's not a trick. It's something people criticize that don't understand it. But there's a powerful mind connection. If you don't get it, you don't understand it, okay. But he's done it on TV in Britain. People were called in, the spoons bent in the people's drawers at home. So something's going on with him, with a mind over matter principle that causing physical changes in this case spoons, but many kind of psychic phenomena, which he was tested for in 1973 by Stanford Research Institute and a scientific paper in the hard science journal called Nature was published about this proof of this psychic ability. That's what started Jack Sarfati and all kinds of physicists talking about the physics of consciousness and trying to develop some theory about it, which he has not paid attention to my premise yet. But anyway, I want to replay a recording when at the appropriate time. So what I figure, the last symbol of the peace pole is a symbol for peace, love, and patience from the Mayan calendar, from Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper, that's a part of the message of the Six Sun calendar, Six Sun sacred calendar, which part of that message from the Jade Princess, which was transmitted from the year 2029 back in time to the year 1444 on June 21st, this Mayan Jade Princess explained that world peace begins in the year 2021. That's the year that just passed. We had a lot of ceremonies and activities around that. I went to Washington, D.C. two times across country, once to Washington, D.C., brought the peace pool there, made a prayer, beat the drum, and chanted the Namam Yohoringakyo. President Trump didn't accept the message of peace. So I came back, and this time after 2 years in Isla Vista, it evolved to put the sacred symbol, the Tetron symbol, to lead the way like a spearhead to bring this message of peace based on the science out. I want to bring it to UCSB, have the physics people discuss it and all that, because we have a history there with Bruce De Palma and his what he called the End Machine, which they think of as a rediscovery of Michael Faraday's principle from 1832 about the homopolar generator. De Palma tested it with the Sunburst community backing him and found out more energy could be put out from a rotating cylindrical magnet than it took to run it. So that proved by UCSB way back in the 80s. I want to bring it out again, have the De Palma's experiments re-verified to change science many levels, because this leads to technologies that produce energy without fuel, free energy. The one person who's invented a machine, the motionless electromagnetic generator, is Thomas Bearden, who got it patented. He was the one who was the head of the Army Division for Advanced Electromagnetic Weaponry, and he learned about this, and over time he left the Army, Colonel Thomas Bearden, and he developed the solid-state free energy machine, actually got it patented, and died, but all his work is on his website, which you can find out. His website is called Shelley, I'll spell it, CHENIRE.org, Shenary. That's Thomas Bearden's website. And Bruce De Palma, his website is Bruce De Palma, D-E-P-A-L-M-A, BruceDePalma.com. You'll see Thomas Bearden's website there too. That's all information that's very important for everybody to pay attention to, especially UCSB, where the chancellor is an engineer. He should understand it. He's acknowledged somewhat 20 years ago, roughly. I sent him information, never anywhere. I want to bring that out. So I swear I'm leading up to the, can't do very much because I'm just a retiree with a small pension from a sales job. But I can do some walking. I'm 77. But I'm scheduling a walk from the April 1st to UCSB from the Santa Barbara City Hall. And the reason is to bring out this concept, the April Fool's Day. When I researched that, what it's about, I researched that a few years ago. I researched a few years ago when I was working with Ibrahim going to Britain, and he's going to meet with Fuji Guruji's monk, and the day they were going to meet was April 1st. So I thought, well, got to be some better symbol than a joke day. And so I researched it, and I can't find it now, but I found documentation saying that the original, the many different stories, but the one that I like is it said every year on April 1st, people were supposed to tell the truth, the unvarnished truth, and because they did that, and there's a world of lies all the time, white lies to be nice to people and or blah, blah. But because of that, Tell the Truth Day became known by people making fools of themselves by telling the truth. So that's what I'm going to use the theme from now until April 1st to bring out the truth in the context. If you have the courage and you know it, tell the truth, even if you make a fool out of yourself. That's the principle. So that's the way I envision this first leg. I talked to other programs about a longer after Santa Barbara walked to City Hall starting April 1st to the Peace Plane, the Peace Tree, the Isla Vista Peace Festival, and the Lucidity Festival, a major gathering in Live Oak Campground, a lot of music, but Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper, goes there to bring his message and conduct ceremonies with everybody. And he's a strong presence for peace, my strong supporter. I'm a strong supporter of his. So I want to go there and conduct a peace walk. And at the Lucidity Festival, which will be filmed, of course, they film everything there, and whatever can be filmed between then to make a pilot for this pilgrimage. If it's successful, we'll continue on, join a global peace walk, annual global peace walks since 1995 when we walked across country to bring out global peace now, and their focus on the United Nations Charter, the goal to remove the scourge of war from the future generations. This time walking from Taos, New Mexico to Santa Fe for Earth Day, starting Buddhist birthday, at the Lucidity Festival. April 8th is Buddha's birthday, and then ending on April 28th, the anniversary of the day Saint Nichiren first put to voice this Namo Myoho Renge Kyo mantra, seeing people voicing it would bring peace in our time. That's April 28th. That's the day I got, coincident, I didn't know at that time, but the day I got the inspiration for the completion of my theory, the oneness equation, when I realized Namo Myoho Renge Kyo in the Islamic prayer, La ilaha illallah, same cells, both are same seven syllables, and the half beat and the second beat. I realized from chanting there's a, beyond religion, there's a oneness thing there. That's where I get the inspiration. And I have to repeat this time the story I told my son, who Micah, who's prejudiced against Islam, being his kind of Christian he is. I want to tell the story. I want to share this message about Islam. People think Islam is a violent religion, and all the violence going on behind Islam is not from Islam. It's from a perversion that Saudi Arabia has done called Wahhabism. It's not Islam. And what I want to tell the story is the power of the prayer. When the beginning of the Muslim calendar came with Muhammad riding into Mecca after he had been kicked out and gathered some followers, and then the ride into Mecca is the beginning of the Muslim calendar, when he rode in and kicked out the idols and proclaimed the one God. Well, the night before they did that, they were up all night beating the drum, chanting La ilaha illallah. The same the monks would do chanting Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. But the next day when he rode in the town with the swords drawn, and their mission was, they said they were going to kill everybody that resisted the one God, the religion, but not a drop of blood was shed. And that was the beginning of the Islamic calendar when Muhammad rode into Mecca. So the principle I'm saying is, put down the sword and take up the drum in prayer. Take up the drum and pray La ilaha illallah. Put down the sword. Just like the Japanese take up the drum, the hand drum, and chant the Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Same concept. So that's my message to the people of Islam, to bring peace, to reverse this baloney that's being propagated. This, because Islam means surrender to peace. That's what it's all about, surrender to peace. I was the second Anglo-American to embrace Islam when I was 18 years old, 1963, at the Los Angeles mosque meeting under the tutelage of my teacher, only a year older than me, but he knew the Quran backwards and forwards, all the music and the songs and everything. He went on to teach Islam, Quran, at my university after. He gave me the highlights, the tutelage. From then I understand what Islam is about. That's why I give you a message. Take up the drum, put down the sword. Okay. So that's 44 minutes I've rattled on, and I'm going to get to the part about inspiration for this week, which is, last Saturday I had a podcast. Then last Sunday I went to Isla Vista to there's a church that has a meetings in the park and offers a pizza or something, snack afterwards. But the homeless mission, the teaching of Jesus by Pastor David Goss, he delivers a sermon, very pointed. This time he talked about King David stories, and but I was inspired to tell him. But my plan for this Peace Pilgrimage TV show, and how I wanted to include the message of Jesus in it, because this also goes back to my 33rd birthday, when I was inspired by Fuji Guruji's message when he got the vision to use the hand drum with the prayer and took it to India, where Gandhi took it up. In their custom, you learn all you can learn, and when you're 33, you start teaching. So he had a pressure was building as when he became, shortly became, before he became 33, because he didn't know what to do. And so he undertook fasting 2 times without food or water or sleep underneath a waterfall to keep awake. First time, nothing, no vision. Second time he did it, he had a vision of a bodhisattva walking and beating the drum with this prayer with a hand drum. And that's what inspired him to take up the drum, was the psychic kind of vision he had. Well, when he was going to come for the first time to the United States, it was 1978, and I was thinking in the spring, I realized I was going to be 33 years old, and I knew I had to figure out a mechanism to propagate my teaching in addition to the science message, what it means, my namesake of David, King David. My father's name is also David Crockett Williams. And my grandfather's name was a great-grandfather's name. My father's grandfather's name was also David Crockett Williams. So I'm channeling this name of David, King David, means beloved. My mother's name was Amy. Her name means beloved. My father's name, David, his name's beloved. So I was inspired by this all the time. And in 1976, I wanted to be known as our David, like our beloved, but it sounds so hokey and that kind of thing. But so long story short is I had a vision, I had not a vision, but inspiration to, on my 33rd birthday, when Guruji's going to come, he came next month, I had a idea to establish a concept called the Kingdom of Jerusalem Israel, to unite the three faiths of Jerusalem. Because I had accepted Islam before, I was baptized as a Christian, and the thing that hit me about Judaism, I don't have any training or understanding of Judaism, but my the occurrence of Torah Kum, after I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. In June of 1973, I got the of sound, Claire Audience Sound, called Tor Rock, which I interpreted as a sound representing a signal from the future coming to help direct me to my actions to guide the humanity towards a condition of paradise on earth. Then May 5th, 1976, so 3 years later, with when I was living in Santa Barbara, I went to practice this sound because I kept chanting it without knowing a mantra or anything, just chanting the sound of Tor Rock to figure it out. I went to put the voice, the sound, and it came out Tor Rockum. And I don't know why, but within a couple of weeks, a person, a lady came. I was chanting that sound, and she says, what does it mean? I said, I'm not sure what it means in any language on earth. Maybe you should tell me what it means. She said, well, because she was fluent in Spanish and Hebrew, she told me Torah Kum means the law stands up. So I have taken that as my personal mantra to spread around the world, like Saint Nichiren, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, to spread the mantra of Tor Rockum, to give rise to this natural law, this great law of peace, this inviolably sovereign, to give rise to this law in the minds of humanity all around the world, that will bring peace and understanding. So that's why on my 33rd birthday, 1973, I established the concept of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, Israel, because I believe when Jesus Christ returns, I'm going to have something to do with it. I don't know what, but I have this belief. So not that I'm Jesus. I'm not pretending to be. I'm the last person with my qualification to be a stand-in. But what idea I came to with Pastor Dave last Sunday was I want to build in the movies of Michael, a running gag or something like that, to build in the concept of the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage for everybody to look out to see and appreciate and look for somebody who could be the return of Jesus Christ. Maybe some guy who's my friend Blessed in Santa Barbara wears white and has, maybe it's him. A lot of people have adopted a Christ consciousness. Maybe one of them be so strong he'll become Jesus, that kind of thing. So I told Pastor Dave, I want to work that concept into the Peace Pilgrimage movie. And since then, I adopted this thought of the use of this. I made a model of and 2 years ago, when I went to the Rainbow Gathering, I had the patience and time, and I created what looks like a crown. It fits over your head, It's made of straws with gold mylar and 8-inch straws sewn together with the little longer ones on the bottom make this the shape that is Jose Munoz is called the Metatron shape. If you look at, it looks like that from the two dimensions, but I'll post a picture of this straw model. So the concept would be to put this crown on people to imbue the spirit of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the crown of the golden straws. That's an idea for a dynamic to include in this movie I want to make of the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage. Okay, so I'm now at an hour, and I want to hone in on some of the concepts. Why walk from Santa Barbara? Well, Santa Barbara City Hall has been a host for a lot of events outside this De La Guerra Plaza. It's a little park, but the symbol of it, the name of it, De La Guerra, means of the war. So everything from De La Guerra Plaza is of the war. So we want to make a peace walk from of the war to peace, which is one symbol. I'm pretty sure our new mayor, Randy Rouse, will take the time in the coming 2 months to carefully consider the messages and formulate, like many mayors before him have written a proclamation on the mayor's letterhead, a mayoral proclamation mentioning the Tree of Peace, mentioning the Great Law of Peace, mentioning the Peace Pole for Jerusalem. And that's what I expect him to do that, and maybe more, whatever he wants. We'll digest it, but that's our new mayor called Randy Rouse. Kathy Murillo is the first mayor, the outgoing mayor, to actually come and pray in a ceremony at the Tree of Peace. Now, so I want to take the Peace Pole for Jerusalem, which I introduced at the Lucidity Festival, the camp out a couple of months ago, and I finished that mock-up and painted it purple and completely put the proper size symbols on it. It's kind of funky still because I used tape. One in the next couple of months to create the symbols that can be printed anywhere and laminated in color and then installed on a local peace pole for Jerusalem, global peace pole, which will include a write-up, a lecture, whatever people can give about the symbols that stand for the message of peace, but the symbols are a message to bring peace by people understanding it, that kind of concept. Like the May Peace Prevail on Earth, so many peaceables with a simple prayer, powerful prayer, may peace prevail on Earth, to stimulate thinking in that direction. There's 100,000 of them all around the world. I am aware of the people involved and the factory where they make them. and I approached them when I was in New York to see if they would print the sticker and stick it on the peace pole, but they weren't ready to do that, and I wasn't ready either because I wasn't successful yet. So now we have the seventh symbol, the tetron symbol, that can maybe I'll start with a FedEx and laminate some. I know the Craig at the peace vigil at the White House is waiting for a small version of the peace pole to carry in his walks around the White House. We called it a peace baton before, except the woman who thought it up has become counterproductive, so I'm not using that. But we'll make a model of the global peace pole to send him. Like they have small models of it, the May peace poles. Okay, so walking from De La Guerra Plaza is 12 miles, so 4 hours of walking to the Peace Flame. And then the Peace Flame monument on campus, we installed the Hiroshima Peace Flame, and it has this history with the rainbow uprising video people could watch. And the idea is that there's three plaques on that monument dedicated by the class of 1969. One plaque has a quote from John Kennedy, one has a quote from Robert Kennedy, and one has a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Well, what I want to bring out is that by now it's fair to say all the knowledge the FBI is responsible for the assassination of Martin Luther King. So this is a difficult truth we want to bring out. Why? Because the FBI is the enemy of the people. They have fomented so many things, that going back to the COINTELPRO in the 60s, where one out of six demonstrators at the convention, one out of six were FBI informants directing and fomenting many times some terrorists is apprehended in the United States. It's the FBI. He's an FBI informant. The FBI has gone crazy. No further look than how what happened to Martin Luther King. He was killed by the FBI, martyred, and all that falderal about his holiday and all the money they raise, and all this is a byproduct of the fact that our government killed him. What else has our government through the FBI done? They fabricated the evidence against Leonard Peltier. He was innocent of any wrongdoing. He and his co-defendants, four of them, I think, he was absent. The rest of them were tried and acquitted on self-defense grounds. Leonard was the scapegoat, and when they captured him, they tried him, and they falsified the ballistic evidence on which he was convicted. It's long acknowledged he's been in prison 44 years. He should have been a long time ago. but he's kept there as a symbol of the oppression of the native people. They won't let him out. No matter how many presidents ask for clemency, they haven't let him out. Trump didn't let him out. No president before him. And when they tried, the FBI put a big ad in the paper, thousands of FBI people signed it, that don't let Leonard out. But he's innocent. There's some guy I heard 2 years ago when I was involved with, some guy at the FBI in his desk has a letter. If that letter stating what I said, the falsified evidence, if that letter ever gets to the judge, some particular judge, the judge will look at it and rubber stamp, Leonard's free. Don't need clemency, a presidential pardon. Good, but the judge can order him free based on the contents of the letter that acknowledges the FBI falsified evidence. But they won't give the judge the letter. It's sitting on somebody's desk. Meanwhile, he's suffering in ill health. He's away from his family. I see Leonard Peltier as a leader of the American peace movement. If he's, my belief has been what I asked before, if he's freed, that'll be an inspiration all around the world. The United States has changed its mind by acknowledging this mistake. And we can change America to admirable country without war mongering, without the violence of the kind of stuff that Brian Wilson, the Veterans for Peace, knows about and talks about, all the atrocities. We can somehow get past it through the concept of forgiveness. That's what the monument was. There was a statue in Santa Barbara called the monument. A statue was called the Transformation Through Forgiveness. It's a marble statue. Francis Jensen made it. It was sitting at the Casa de Maria. Well, when the mudslide came through, it washed the statue away and broke it all up, destroyed it. That incident happened on January 9th, 2018. That's the 33rd anniversary of the death of Fujiguruji. The January 9th was the anniversary of his fifth anniversary of his death when we did the Rainbow Uprising campaign series of the events in 1990. I will mention again the principle of the Rainbow Uprising of Consciousness is an uprising of consciousness to a higher level for which you can see the solutions to the problems of today. This exactly parallels Einstein's quote, we cannot solve the problems with our current level of thinking. We have to elevate our thinking to find the solutions to the problems. But the same principle was explained in Santa Barbara before 1989 by the Center for Nonviolence in Jerusalem. The Muslim Center for Nonviolence in Jerusalem, the guy came and spoke in Santa Barbara to the Fellowship of Reconciliation, and he explained the principle of intifada, which is usually translated as uprising. It's not uprising like an Indian uprising, like the Yahoos at the Rainbow Gathering think I mean. A rainbow uprising of hippies to overthrow the government or something. But it's a spiritual concept of self-purification. I mentioned this before. That's a principle of beating the drum and chanting the prayer, Namo Myoho, is a self-purification to purify the mind. So this guy said the Arabic word intifada means self-purification in order to rise up our consciousness to see the solutions we can't see yet today. So that's why I picked rainbow uprising, meaning the rainbow intifada, the spiritual practice of self-purification to rise up consciousness to see the solutions to the problems for today. Well, I told that to the Christian guy, big wig guy in the Rainbow Gathering. He freaked out that is inspired by an Islamic prayer mate. So whatever. Okay, so I belabor the fact that Martin Luther King was killed by the FBI. The FBI's messed up so many things, participated in the FBI should be destroyed and rebuilt, bottom line. So I want to play now. I think I got queued up, coincidence today. Facebook has memories. Every year you can look and see what you posted a year ago. Well, the memory for today was a video from 2 years ago by a federal prosecutor ragging on the FBI for all the bad things, the criminal things the FBI is doing. And I want to play it just here. It's just a couple of minutes, and it relates to what I'm talking about. Tell the truth, even if it makes a fool out of you. We have to tell these truths. And the more we can publicize it, like the death of the Martin Luther King on the venue of the Peace Flame, and the walk to, I'd like to get 1,000 people walking on April 1st from City Hall to UCSB for a lot of reasons, including the new energy tech, get the UCSB to pay attention to it. But Peace Flame, so let me play, see if I can play this clip. This is a federal prosecutor talking about the bad things FBI has done. Let's see if I can play it. Okay.
The FBI used to spy on the Russians. This time they spied on us. It's about a brazen plot to, again, exonerate Hillary Clinton from a clear violation of the law with regard to the way she handled classified information with her private server. Absolutely a crime. Absolutely a felony. It's about finding out why, as the Inspector General is doing at the Department of Justice, why Comey and the senior DOJ officials conducted a fake criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton. followed none of the regular rules, gave her every break in the book, immunized all kinds of people, allowed the destruction of evidence, no grand jury, no subpoenas, no search warrant. That's not an investigation. That's a Potemkin village. What this is about is, this is about a lavabo, a cleansing of the FBI and the upper echelons of the Department of Justice. We're going to discover that the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, her deputy, Sally Yates, the head of the National Security Division, John Carlin, Bruce Orr, and other senior DOJ officials and, regrettably, line attorneys, people who were senior career civil servants, violated the law, perhaps committed crimes, and covered up crimes by a presidential candidate. But more than that, they tried to frame an incoming president with a false Russian conspiracy that never existed, and they knew it, and they plotted to ruin him as a candidate and then destroy him as a president. The FBI now has to be completely reconstructed from the ground up. The men and women at the Bureau are great people. That's not who we're talking about. We never have been. We are talking about people like James Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Baker, Prystep, who's a name nobody knows. He's the head of the Counterintelligence Division. What the Bureau did was, by working with Fusion GPS and giving contractors access to highly classified information, which they had no legal right to see, they needed to create something they could give to the court, the Foreign Intelligence Court, so that they could get wiretaps and surveillance taps and email taps and phone taps on the Trump people, so that if there was anything, they could find it out. Of course, there was nothing. There never was anything. And they created false facts so that they could get surveillance warrants. It was done not for a legitimate law enforcement reason, not for national security reasons, but to create a false case against a candidate, Donald Trump, a president-elect, Donald Trump, and a president, Donald Trump.
I'll circle back if there's more I can share with you.
So what that means is pointing a big finger at the FBI and including in it all the stuff we've been hearing about on the news having to do with what he's talking about, the conspiracy against Donald Trump to keep him from being president. Well, I don't know, but basically that puts the Leonard Peltier case and the Martin Luther King case and the Trump case all in the same bailiwick with the FBI responsible for the mess. And what he's calling for is totally revamp the FBI. So this is something I'm going to promote heavily in the next 2 months before April 1st. Maybe with help with the peace walk as a principle, the prayer walk will strike some chord and make a dent or whatever. But I want to talk about I've got 40 minutes maybe. I hope to talk. I'm going to talk about some of the reasons for the difficulties we're going through. But first I want to hit the highlights of what happened the rest of the week after I talked to the Pastor Dave about how to include the message of Jesus Christ in this movie. And I talked last time a little bit about the Hopi, my visit to the Hopi land, and the morning kachinas and visit to the church when I touched the handle and the lightning and thunder happened, and the pastor took us home and explained what they believed about Jesus Christ. His return is documented the way he explained, and that's what they mean by the return of the true white brother. I don't know, but I'm saying this concept of the return of the love of Jesus Christ is important, because that's what the law, the another take on this inviolably sovereign natural law, it's the law of love. That's what Jesus talked about, the superior law of universal love. If you can get in that frame of mind, this universal love, practicing universal love, that's law. That's the law that everything operates, that will work for everything. So that's part of what I want to bring out in this movie. But Sunday I talked about that, and Monday I went to the Park District office, Isla Vista Park and Recreation. I have a long relationship with them because I live basically homeless in Santa Barbara in my RV since 2 years ago when my wife kicked me out, saying, "David, you have never been successful to create world peace. I don't think you ever will. I think you're wasting time all these years. You've sacrificed, haven't been a good father, haven't provided good money. You're, in spite of the fact that I was with you and committed to you and a marriage and the kingdom of Jerusalem, forget about that. I'm going to go ahead and leave you behind and don't want to mess with all this stuff because I don't believe it." Well, she can't believe it because she doesn't have the... I'm a rare person who can grasp this concept of the my explanation of the inviolable sovereign law as Einstein envisioned it in these equations. This is just nonsense to most people. So I understand that she's a wonderful person. She's come to spiritual place in spite of the problems we've been having with my son, who's has alcohol problems and gets into all kinds of problems. So since I brought him down here and from Oregon and late 7 months ago, I'm waiting for him to be released for the emergency room. We had to drive up to Lompoc to try to get him into rehab. So that's been a drain, but I trust God it's all going to work out and a good lesson for everybody. So, but I went to the Park District office and the guy, I put up tents and all that during the homeless time. So I try to create an event October last year, and it fell through a bunch of reasons, and people made mistakes, and they fired the two women from the Park District office over the mistakes they made. So I have some good karma, and I've asked them to help me for 1st of April to the 4th of April to have a peace festival in Isla Vista. So April 1st, be walking to the peace flame. Focus on these messages. Maybe that's 2 days. I don't know what we'll work it out. But one day will be ending the walk at the peace flame from Santa Barbara City Hall. Another day, walking from the peace flame to the peace tree. Another day, walking to the Isla Vista Peace Festival. Maybe it'll be combined somehow. But I want to focus on April 4th is the Monday, the Peace Festival to go through then, because that's the day Martin Luther King was assassinated, the anniversary. It's also my wife's birthday, but the April 4th would be a focus for the death day anniversary of Martin Luther King in light of the fact that he has a plaque with his quote on the Peace Flame Monument, in light of the fact FBI, if you look, it's not hard, you can see the government has not acknowledged the FBI's role in the death of Martin Luther King. One of those things, it's a truth that people are afraid to talk about, make a fool of themselves, that kind of thing. So I asked the Park District to coordinate with the Lucidity Festival, because the Lucidity Festival put up a great stage and had some music events last fall, and the Park District manager agreed to let us stay up through October 2nd, Gandhi's birthday, so I could have a tailgate event. Not many people come to my events. I hold it out as some action to support the homeless. People are interested. But one person who's faithfully helping me is my friend Art Cisneros, the Chumash elder, who came. He walked from the gazebo, the Vietnam Memorial gazebo in the park. He walked to chanting his Chumash prayer instead of the Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. He chanted the Chumash prayer all the way on Gandhi's birthday to the stage where we had the peace pull for Jerusalem, partially it's decked out with all the symbols, not properly sized and all in color, but all the symbols were there, and he did a staging blessing on Gandhi's birthday to inaugurate the new peaceful for Jerusalem with all seven symbols on it. So I asked the Park District to coordinate with the Lucidity people for a peace festival in Isla Vista from the 1st to the 4th of April. But the problem is that Lucidity is setting up for their thing on the 8th. So starting on the 6th or so, they'll be completely tied up. It's going to be touch and go how interested are and both the Park District and the Lucidity Festival, what kind of peace festival can be put together those first 4 days of April. The Park District secretary, manager guy already explained they want to do a spring festival in a calling musicians. He had was having a meeting last Monday with the manager to work out the details. He wanted to invite musicians. They have money to work with. But I don't know. I'll go back this Monday to see what they say. I don't know if what cooperation I'll get. But the park is still completely fenced off. The renovation, fixing the lawn, fixing the sprinklers. I don't know if they're going to get it done by the 1st or if their plan for a spring festival is going to be after the first weekend of April when the Lucidity Festival is happening. So I'll find out what's going on. But one way or another, I'm going to have whatever happens, some kind of peace festival in Isla Vista, those 4 days, the first 4 days of April. If it's just me beating the drum going alone, so be it. I'll do it. So that's what's going to happen those first 4 days of April. And then the Lucidity Festival, I don't know what's, again, except a lot of volunteers, a lot of people, a lot of money involved, and they can do something. I'm in touch with the people. I went to the last one. They're going to accept the overall message I'm giving them about the Kingdom of Jerusalem, Israel, about the peace pole for Jerusalem, about the free energy technologies the university needs to pay attention to, whatever, all associated messages. Usually somebody complains about something, but hopefully it'll go smoothly and it'll be a big deal. Jose Munoz told me last time he's going to go in February to Guatemala, and when he comes back, he's going to gather some indigenous elders and do a tour of the United States in March, because the cosmic calendar he's keeping indicates that's going to be the time for the Mayan Renaissance. So he wants to have that culminate with bringing these elders to the Lucidity Festival. And the main days are April 8th to the 10th, Buddha's birthday, 6th, 7th, something happening also. So means the 4th is the end of, and Isla Vista means the 5th and 6th transition. Well, we'll see. Next, I'll summarize to go. If I have the money and my rig is fixed up a little bit, I want to go to Taos, New Mexico, where I put the last peace pole at the Gorge Bridge, coordinate with Reverend Yamato, my Zen monk friend who brought the peace poles, 2,200-year peace pole ceremony for the first time to the Rainbow Gathering in 1978, that inspired me to take up this concept of ecumenical peace pole. More than one message of peace, now 7 symbols of the message of peace, then to go to the Santa Taos, I want to start on April 15th. Give me time to get there after the 10th of April when the Lucidity is over. and arrive in Taos to have an event in Kit Carson Park. There was a stage there and April 15th in order to target the so-called income tax day. I want to tell you that one of the truths to talk about and be made a fool of about is there's no law that you can find that says anybody has, ordinary people have to pay income tax. There's a guy named Joseph Bannister who was a fraud investigator for the IRS, and he was gun-carrying fraud investigator going out to arrest people for crossing the income tax laws. And one day he heard on the radio a radio host, a woman he respected, and he was shocked to hear her say the words, there's no law that can be found that proves you have to pay income tax. It's all voluntary, but people who are hoodwinked into believing it's true, and so they pay up. Well, he couldn't believe it, of course, so he spent the next 2 years looking at everything he could find about that, and he couldn't find a law. He found out she was right. So he made a giant thick report and turned it into the IRS, asking them, I can't find the law. Well, all my training, I can't find the law. Please tell me the law. And they fired him, and they wouldn't tell him the law. So he wanted to, he's works for a law firm now, and but he's a bunch of colleagues. I worked with a called Freedom Law School. You can look up Joseph Bannister with one N, and he's on the internet. You'll find him. He's the first-hand source guy who found out there's no law. And there's a movie called From Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo made. He was Bette Midler's manager. The theme of this regular movie was investigating, is there a law about requiring income tax? So the movie is about the Federal Reserve, how it's illegal. The Federal Reserve Act was never properly ratified, as was the income tax law. And there's a movie called From Freedom to Fascism. America, colon, From Freedom to Fascism. You can look it up on YouTube and watch it and see what you think. There's no law requiring you to pay income tax. The other people, you can look up livefreenow.org. That's my friend Payman Mogadishu, I think. No, no, I can't pronounce his name. It's an Iranian name. He's an Iranian Jew. Anyway, he's a wizard. And his has the Freedom Law School, where he has programs online you can subscribe to and get these discs and learn all about it. There's no law that requires you to pay income tax. Then he's got a business where if you want to fight it, you give him so much, subscribe to this deal, the subscription service, and he'll help you fight it. Just don't sign a tax return, and we'll take it from there. And he files all the papers to complain and put it off to deal with this fact and protect people from this illegal action of income tax. So that's another thing to talk about, where if you tell the truth, people are going to think you're nuts, as well as crazy, as well as a fool. But it's true. So you can look it up, and you can watch the movie. You can go to livefreenow.org and read it, and then look up Joe Bannister and read his stuff. So that's why I picked the date for April 15th in Taos, New Mexico, for the focus of the beginning of the Peace Walk that's going to go to Earth Day in Santa Fe, whatever is happening there, and bring out the message of the global peaceful for Jerusalem. All these messages I'm summarizing to bring out. And then the idea is to go to April 28th to the Santa Fe Indian School, which President Biden's Secretary of the Interior ordered in June. This article came out. She's requested a report due April 1st from all the Indian schools in the United States. What's happening with the dead bodies buried under all the Indian schools? In Canada, they dug up thousands of dead bodies. What happened? What were they mistreated? All that kind of stuff. The Santa Fe Indian School is owned by 8 pueblos, I think, is 8 pueblos. And one of the pueblos is the one that Deborah called the U.S. Department of the Interior head is from one of those pueblos. So we'll bring attention to that. Well, and next, same kind of concept in South Dakota, where they brought the first handful of Indian children to rebury his sacred ceremony in the South Dakota Rosebud. That all ties in together, ties into the indigenous issues. Crow Dog had a Sending Rock. He had a forgiveness ceremony for the veterans who repented, asked forgiveness for the atrocities of the U.S. government against the Native people and all around the world. And Chief Crow Dog gave him a blessing, a forgiveness ceremony. That's why we want to walk the final leg of this, what I'm trying to do, make the a big deal of the movie, Peace Walk movie, gathering momentum from the Indian School, then the 50th annual Rainbow Gathering in Colorado this year. A lot of people there who go there support clemency for Leonard Peltier, freedom for Leonard Peltier. That's going to be the leading issue of all this, is to destroy the FBI to let Leonard free. And all the problems they've created, let's dismantle the FBI, and Leonard's freedom will be the fruit, the first fruit. So the I think the people at the Rainbow Gathering will support this, and after that, to go quick trip to the Sundance August 6th. Date is a Hiroshima Day to Rosebud, South Dakota, where there's children were reburied, and have a ceremony to bring out these issues out. And then quickly back to Oklahoma for August 9th to begin the peace walk from Oklahoma to the White House, to the FBI office. The Oklahoma is the last ending of the Trail of Tears. You heard about all the Indian people marched to their death from leaving the East, all of settling in Oklahoma. This is the spot where the Trail of Tears ended, is in Southeastern University in Oklahoma, where this statue by Francis Jansen is positioned. It's called the Monument to Forgiveness, and it marks the end of the Trail of Tears. So from there, we'll walk back to the White House 3 months, only average 13 miles a day, so it's perfect for the peace walk days off and all that. Skip ahead, whatever it takes. On the way is a National Civil Rights Museum in Tennessee, Nashville, I believe. And I want to go to Petersburg on the way in Virginia, because the Petersburg mayor is the only one besides the Tucson mayor who gave in 2018 agreed to the proclamation for the season of unity, harmony, and peace. And he issued a proclamation. And Petersburg is a famous place on the Civil War and all that. So I want to go to Petersburg and pay my respect to this mayor who is the only one of the 13 Eastern cities that agreed to go give me a proclamation. The D.C. mayor didn't. None of the 13 we went to on the Great Spirit Relay Marathon walking caravan, beating the drum at City Hall all the way from the Rainbow Gathering in Georgia to the Martin Luther King Center to the Carter Center with the daughter of my teacher, Masao Napashi, Oceana Wren, and her son. We started at the Carter Center, Jimmy Carter. They didn't cooperate. We walked across town to the Martin Luther King Center. They didn't cooperate, give me the proclamation. Then we beat the drum there, and then only the Petersburg mayor had the understanding. Then we went to the White House. We had a conference in Greenbelt Park to compile public input from places, created a 10-point global peace plan, the horseback ride for Leonard Peltier came in on the 1st of November, the All Saints Day, and when we got the permission from the cops to let the horses go and the riders go to Lafayette Park, and create this 10-point global peace plan that was delivered then to the White House, and on November 11th, the 100th anniversary of the Armistice Day of Veterans Day, we delivered to the United Nations electronically this 10-point global peace plan, which is not very much known and not really publicized, because the crazy lady that stopped help, said she would help me in 2018 and set up a Facebook page. As soon as I got back, after putting a bunch of posts every day, she confiscated the website, the Facebook page, and will not let me put stuff there. And she took and put her book of poetry to make people, to get people to raise money for her. She put it on my Great Spirit Relay site. And all these years, 3 years, she won't cooperate to put me back in control of that site. So all the content I want to use is stuck. But I reproduced the copied from there and put in on a URL, the 10-point global peace plan. So I'll be circulating that more as well as a part of this effort. So looks like I have 9 minutes left to continue. So I want to address the problems that we're facing and how to, very, very difficult topic for me to address. How can we forgive the people who have done such terrible things against humanity, against the children, against women, the missing women, murdered, missing and murdered women issue, the child sex trafficking? How in the world can we forgive these people? Number one, would it do any good? Should they all be hung, shot? What would Gandhi do? What would Jesus do? That's what I think about. I've studied all this stuff, sickening level of reports and photographs, and I'm convinced that it's not a new problem. It's a problem of perversion and corruption going back centuries, maybe millennia, into the Catholic Church, institutionalized child abuse, to the Khazarian Empire and the perversion of child sacrifice and blood drinking and all that stuff that's made its way into modern day secret societies. And how in the world can you change that? That's the first question. Now, how the example people use as if you, let's say you have a rat in a corner of a rat, you better be careful because they're going to fight like crazy and bite you. So better not to corner them and fight, but to give them a way out. Let them run into a paper bag or something and capture them and put them out. That principle of applies today because all these people that are in power, these corrupt people, politicians, the corrupt media, the news media, the social media, the censoring, and the lying to people, how many lies have been propagated and still being propagated by all the major news media. It turns out their owners are, many of them are in, locked into this ritual child sacrifice, drinking human blood, blackmailing people all over this. How can you change that? Well, I don't know, but fighting the rat makes a rat fight harder. So is there a way out? Is there a way to apply the principle of forgiveness to this issue? Truth, amnesty, reconciliation. If people acknowledge the truth, what they've been doing, agree to change their mind and go forward in a good way, will that work? Like the Kachina dances, the whole Be Life plan is encoded in it, where some of the Kachinas are called the clowns. They represent the impure thinking of human beings, and they mess up and do all kinds of crazy things until the end, where the invaders capture them and chastise them and purify them by symbolized by pouring water and washing the mud off of them, and then they're forgiven to go forward as pure human beings acting the right way. How can this be incorporated in modern society if what we're up against is politicians, judges, police, all who are secretly into this bizarre cult of human sacrifice and bloodlust and all that? How can we forgive them? What's it going to take? These people have to be dosed with some kind of drug that gives them some kind of insight to correct their mind. What's going to take? I don't know. But I know it's important to think about and figure out, and we got to do something, or otherwise it's going to keep going on. We have to stop the centuries, millennia old cult of the death of death cult. We have to I'm thinking what we can do to use the concept of forgiveness and this peace walk and all these things to make a difference and change the world and in a good way. So I have 60 seconds to wrap up. So I'll say thank you. I love you, everyone. I'll say Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, Le Ilaha Illallah, Torak, Torakum. May peace be upon us. Matakliasi, all my relations. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Thank you.